Let's turn now to Proverbs chapter 10. Chapter 10 begins with the phrase, the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, this is how chapter 1 begins. However, in chapter 1, it is an introduction to the book of the Proverbs of Solomon. We really don't get into many Proverbs until we get to chapter 10. In chapter 1, he gives us the purpose for Proverbs. Proverbs are intended to give instruction, to bring you wisdom and understanding. And then Solomon encourages us to learn, to get understanding, to seek to be instructed. And he extols wisdom in the next several chapters and how important it is and what wisdom will do for you. And having laid out this whole dissertation on the value and the importance of wisdom, now we begin the actual Proverbs. And so beginning with chapter 10, each verse is a proverb. And in these proverbs, he is usually making contrast. And so you want to look for the contrast. For instance, the very first one, a wise son makes a glad father. How true that is. That fathers are proud of their sons when they display wisdom. And you feel like you've accomplished your purpose as a father when your son is wise. He makes a glad father. But a foolish son, contrast, is the heaviness of his mother. Looking upon that foolish son, her heart becomes heavy at his foolishness. How true that is. We recently had a dear saint of the Lord here at the church who really was destroyed by her foolish son. She died recently, and I believe that her death is directly attributable to the heaviness that her son brought upon her heart. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. If you have gained by wickedness, then you're apt to lose also by wickedness. Several years ago, we had a member of the mafia who was coming to the church for a while. And for some reason, he sort of took a liking to me. He was an interesting fellow. And he invited me over to his house one day. He had some things he wanted to just sort of open up and share from his heart. And he went over to his little safe and he got out a wad of cash, big roll of $100 bills. And he said, "See this?" He said, "I just ripped this off from a guy. About $100,000. And he said, "But they all know now that I have it." And he said, "So they're all working on me, and everyone's got a scam, and they're seeking to rip me off." And he said, "I'm going to buy one of them." He said, "They'll come along, and I'll be a sucker, and I'll buy it. And then the other guy, he'll have this for a while. But we'll all know who has it, and so we'll all work scams on him." And he said, "This money just passes between us. And, you know, it just goes, you know, we rip off each other and we have scams." And he said, "So, you know, I'm the guy right now. They're all, you know, beating on my door, trying to rip me off with some scheme and all." And he said, it's just something that you hold for a while, but then it goes. And that's basically what the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You know, it's going to pass on. but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, I want you to notice that as he talks about righteousness, and he will in many of the Proverbs, righteousness becomes a part of the subject, and it's always contrasted with wickedness, and here it is with wickedness. Wickedness profits, the profit of wickedness is nothing, or profits nothing, treasures of wickedness, but righteousness. So the contrast between wicked and righteousness. But so often, as he brings up the subject of righteousness, he will relate righteousness to life. And that is to eternal life, to spiritual life. And so righteousness delivereth from death. So it is that delivering from death, which of course is life. Again, contrasting righteous and wicked, the Lord will not allow the soul of the righteous to famish. If you are living a righteous life, God is going to take care of you. Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, make yarn out of cotton or whatever. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. As beautifully as one of these. Consider the birds of the air. They don't sow seeds and gather into barns and, you know, harvest their crops, plow the fields. Yet your Father feeds them. Now, if your Father will so clothe the grass of the field, which today is there and tomorrow is gone, if your Father feeds the birds, how much more will he take care of you, his child? Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, because your Father knows that you have need of these things. And so the Lord will not allow the righteous to famish. He'll take care of them. He'll not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he will cast away the substance of the wicked. So righteousness and wickedness again contrasted. Now we have a contrast between laziness and diligence. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. If you are slack in your business, if you're slack in your duties, tends towards poverty. But in contrast, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And so you get your interesting contrast. And continuing with sort of that laziness and diligence, he that gathers in summer is a wise son. That is, you take advantage of the harvest. You're working out and you're harvesting the crops. But he that sleeps in the harvest is a son that causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the just. And so now the just or the righteous compared to the wicked and contrasted. Blessings are on the head of the just. God's blessings on your life if you are just. Blessings of God. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Again, justice and or the just and the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed. So blessings are on the head of the just, and the memory of the just are blessed. You think of a person who was fair and honest. You say, oh, that fellow, you know, he was so fair. He always did what was fair. And the memories of those people are blessed. You remember those kind of things about people. But the name of the wicked shall rot. You say, that guy was so rotten, you know, through and through. Good he's dead, you know. The wise is contrasted with the fool. The wise in heart will receive commandments. You'll receive instruction. You'll listen. but a prating fool shall fall. I know it. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. Wise in heart, you'll take instruction. Say, well, thank you. Appreciate that. He that walketh uprightly, and this is the contrast, the one who walks uprightly, he walks surely. If you walk uprightly, you don't have to worry. But he that perverteth his ways, in contrast with walking uprightly, you pervert your ways. He that perverteth his ways shall be known. And then this one is not a contrast, it's just sort of amplifying the first clause. The first clause, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. That guy who is, you know, so false and going around and just snowing everybody, you know, and comes on strong. The mouth of the righteous, and of course the righteous and wicked contrasted, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. You notice life again associated with righteousness. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The things that they speak tend towards life. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Have you ever heard some people whose conversation are sort of like an open sewer? I mean, there's nothing but filth that comes out. I was working one time at Alpha Beta Markets, and I was sent over to a store here in Santa Ana. I used to work for the Alpha Beta Markets as sort of fill-in manager. Whenever a manager would be sick or going to conventions or whatever, they'd call me to operate the stores. And I was over in Santa Ana operating the store that used to be over here on Bristol. And there was a young fellow that was working there as a stock, in the stock, stocking the shelves and so forth. And this fellow's mouth had to be one of the most filthy mouths I've ever heard. And finally, I just stopped him and I said, fellow, I said, I've never heard such filth ever coming out of anybody's mouth. I said, there is an old proverb that says, some men's minds are like racehorses. They run best on a dirt track. And it said, it seems like your mind must be in a dirt track. And I've never heard such filth. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. I mean, it's terrible to be around them because they're pouring out that filth on you. You know, I felt like I had to take a shower when I went home. But it's terrible to plant that kind of filth in other people's minds. Hatred, and here hatred and love are contrasted. And of course, we know there's quite a contrast between hatred and love. Hatred stirs up strifes. I mean, man, how many strifes are stirred up by hatred? Think of how many things that have been stirred up by you because you hated someone, or have been stirred up against you because someone hated you. Hatred stirs up strife. It creates strife. However, love covers all sins. There is a scripture in the New Testament that no doubt was taken from this proverb. It says, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, if you really love, you say, oh, that's all right. You know, my grandkids, they can do no wrong. So they pour a box of sugar out on the floor, you know, and isn't that cute? You know, look, they made a neat little pile out of it, you know. Shows artistic ability, the way they drew with it on the floor, you know. Love covers a multitude of sins, you know. Now, the next proverb is contrasting understanding and those who are void of understanding. The lips of him that has understanding in the lips, wisdom is found. Listen to them. That's why I like to be around men like Dr. Wilder Smith. You listen to it. Wisdom is found. This guy is so wise. And in the lips of understanding, the understanding, wisdom is found. But the rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. They end up being beaten. Again, contrasting wise men and foolish. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. That is, the wise men preserve knowledge. The foolish destroy, near destruction. Rich men and poor men. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. By his wealth, he fortifies himself. But the destruction of the poor is their poverty. They are destroyed because of their poverty. They can't afford to defend themselves. The righteous man and the wicked again. And the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Again, life and righteousness associated, properly so. Because the way of righteousness is the way of life. And so the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. So there's a contrast here also between labor and fruit. The effects of sin or wickedness, the sin, the fruit of wicked to sin. Now, those that keep instruction and those that refuse are contrasted. He is in the way of life that keeps instruction. If you listen and you follow instruction, you're in the path of life. But he that refuses reproof erreth. It's a mistake not to listen to reproof. Now, this one is just is sort of building on itself. No contrast here, but sort of building. He that hides hatred with lying lips. And this is often done. You really try to deceive by lying about it. Someone says, "You really don't like him." "Oh yeah, I like him. He's all right, you know." And it's not true. You hate him. And you're trying to hide hatred with lying lips. "Well, I didn't say that." And he that uttereth slander is a fool. To slander someone else, to repeat slander about someone else, a fool. Here is a contrast between a person who talks all the time and a person who refrains. In the multitude of words, there wonteth not sin. You talk enough and you're going to reveal it. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now, there's another proverb. It's similar to this, and I don't think it's in the Bible. But it's better to keep your mouth shut and let men think you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubts. He that refraineth his lips is wise. I can't tell you. One, I just must enjoy myself. Now, the just is contrasted with the wicked. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Silver tongue, you've heard of them. The heart of the wicked is of little value. Contrasting the just and the wicked. The lips of the righteous feed many. How many people are fed from the lips of the righteous? But fools die for the lack of wisdom. And then this one is just a declaration, and I love it. This is one of my favorites. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, how rich are the blessings of the Lord. And they make you so rich. I drive around Newport Beach looking at all of the fancy houses and, you know, bayfronts and the whole thing. And I just think, man, I'm fortunate. I'm the richest man in Newport Beach. Now, you wouldn't know that from my bank account or from anything else. You'd have to know me. You'd have to know how rich I am. Because riches, true riches, are not measured by bank accounts. They're measured by the blessings of God that are upon your life. And the blessings of the Lord make rich. He adds no sorrow with it. I think of the sorrow that so many of those people are going through. And here I am, just so blessed of the Lord, so rich. The fool is contrasted with the man of understanding. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. Now, when I was in college years, this thing probably applied to me. We looked for mischief. And why is that? I don't know. Guys used to come over at night and, what are we going to do? You know, looking for mischief. Sport, as a sport to a fool. Or foolish. But a man of understanding has wisdom. Wicked and righteous contrasted. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Interesting. If you're fearing something, you're wicked. It'll usually come to pass. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And now again, wicked and righteous. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. As the whirlwind goes through, passes by, so the wicked, blown away. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation, the eternal, the life, eternal life. Now, I don't know what vinegar does to the teeth, but I do know what smoke does to the eyes. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard or the lazy man to those who sent him. I mean, you send a lazy guy to do a task, and that's just like smoke in your eyes. I mean, it just smarts. It hurts. I suppose maybe without dentistry, that if your teeth were rather rotten, maybe vinegar really smarts on the teeth. I don't know. But as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those that sin him. The fear of the Lord, contrasted with the wicked. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Again, life is associated with righteousness. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. God will cut off the wicked. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Again, righteousness and wickedness contrasted. The hope of the righteous, gladness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. It will not come to pass. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. So the upright are contrasted with the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord, strength to the upright, destruction shall come to the workers of iniquity. Righteousness and wickedness. The righteous shall never be removed. They live forever. There is that eternal purpose and plan that God has for the righteous. They will never be removed. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. That is that new earth that God creates. Behold, God said, I make all things new. I create a new heaven and a new earth. The old things will pass away and never be brought into mind. And it talks about how the wicked will not be there, not inhabit it. The mouth of the just, and the just is contrasted with the perverse. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. But the perverse or forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverseness. So, several contrasts there between righteousness, wickedness, justice, and wickedness. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So the false balance is contrasted with the just weight. Now, in those days, the whole commercial system was done with balances. And this is true up until not too many years ago. You would have scales, and they were balanced scales. And you had these little weights. You had a half-pound weight, you had a pound weight, you had a two-pound weight, five-pound weight. And so a person would order 5 pounds of hamburger. They'd put the five-pound weight on there, and then they would pile the hamburger on the other side of the scales until they balanced. And in those days, they usually had rocks that they would cut down to the weights. And always in situations where you have people, you have those people who are perverse. And there would be those who had two sets of weights, one by which they would buy and the other by which they would sell. And of course, the weights by which you sold were always lighter than those by which you bought. And a false balance. The Lord's rebuking this practice that people got involved in a false balance, false weights. They're an abomination. God wants people to be fair. Now, that's fair, isn't it? For years here in the United States, we had a National Bureau of Standards, Weights, and Measures. I think that's been absorbed into other governmental bureaucracy now. But they used to have the National Standard of Bureau of Standards of Weights and Measures. And the purpose of this bureau was to make sure that a gallon was a gallon. And they would go around to the service stations and they would have a gallon can, and they would put a gallon of gas according to the meter, and if it wasn't a true gallon, then they would fine the station operator. They had actual pound weights. They would put them on the scales to see if the scales weighed them at exactly 1 pound. And the idea was to have a standardized pound, a standardized gallon, a standardized quart, so that when you bought a pound of bread, you knew you were going to get a pound loaf of bread. If it said 1 pound loaf, they made sure it was 1 pound. And that was the whole idea of standardizing all of the weights and the measures so that you can engage in commerce. Imagine what would happen if everyone had their own standard of what a pound is. So you had nationalized standards. I read of a farmer who was taken to court by the baker. And the baker accused the farmer of cutting the amount of butter that he was selling him. When he was supposed to be selling him a pound of butter, the baker said there was less than a pound. And he sued the farmer originally I got a full pound, but gradually he's been cutting it down until where he sells me a pound of butter now, and it's not a real pound of butter. It's only 12 ounces. And so the farmer got on the stand, and he said, "Well, Judge," he said, "the only scales I have are balanced scales." And he said, "I've always just measured the butter on my balanced scales with a pound loaf of bread that he sold me." The farmer won the case. But you can see what happens if you have false balances. It's an abomination to the Lord. God wants you to be fair in your business dealings. It's tough these days because there are so many people that are willing to cut corners in businesses. So many people are willing to do anything to get a contract, to get the job. And then, you know, they start whittling away at people. God wants you to be fair. God wants you to be square, upright, straight, honest in your business dealings. I've had a lot of business people say, "Well, you can't operate a business that way today. No way you can stay in business. If you're honest, you'll never get the job." If you're dishonest, the word will get around. You won't be in business long. But you say, "That's the problem. These guys, they're fly-by-nights. You know, they come and they do all this shoddy work and then they're gone. They file bankruptcy but also the word gets around if you maintain a good reputation. How many of you are looking for a good, honest mechanic? How many would take your car to a good, honest mechanic if you knew one? The problem with a good, honest mechanic is that you've got to get a 2-month appointment to get your car into them. Because you all want, you know, and a mechanic can tell you anything about the car. "Oh, well, you know, had to rebuild the entire carburetor. And maybe all it needed was just a minor adjustment. But what do you know?" God wants you to be square, though. If you're in business, be honest. Be straightforward. False balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight, a fair weight, is His delight. God delights in it. Pride is contrasted with a man who is lowly. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." Integrity is contrasted with perversity. "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." You're living by principles. And your life is guided by these principles. So the integrity of the upright will be the guide to them. "But the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them." Sort of what you're talking about, these guys in business who are perverse. They'll be destroyed ultimately by that perverseness. "Riches profit not in the day of wrath." Doesn't matter how rich you are in the day of wrath, when God's day of wrath comes upon the earth. "But righteousness delivereth him from death." You know, when the day of God's judgment comes, I don't think it's going to be any consolation to say, "Well, I'm the richest man in hell. Riches profit nothing in the day of wrath, but righteousness, it'll deliver from that death. Righteousness and wickedness contrasted. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. You will seek that your life be directed in the right path, in the right way. And so the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. You'll fall in your own perversities. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. It's saying the same thing as verse 5, only putting it a little different way. Again, wickedness. When a wicked man dies, his hopes perish. I mean, that's the end. When a wicked man dies, there's no more hope for him. It's tragic when a wicked person dies, when a sinner dies. There's no hope. It leaves you such hopelessness. And the hope of the unjust men perishes. No hope. Death is the end. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, but the wicked gets what he deserves, comes in his stead. Hypocrites, with his mouth, destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. And then, again, righteousness and wickedness. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. It's interesting, Herod was a wicked man, Herod the Great. And he had done so many horrible things to the people that everybody hated him. And because everybody hated him, he feared for his life, because he feared constantly he was going to be assassinated. He had a paranoia about this. He always felt that people were plotting against him. And rightfully so, because there are just any number of people who loved to have done that guy in. He was just so cruel, so horrible, a monster kind of a guy. And knowing that people hated him so much, he ordered on his death that several of the popular men in the city should be executed, because he didn't want a lot of partying and rejoicing when he died. He wanted people to weep and to be sorry, and he knew they wouldn't be sorry for him. And so he ordered these popular men in the community to be executed when he died, so that there would be weeping instead of shouting and rejoicing at his death. Fortunately, the soldiers were wise enough to realize when he was died, well, why should we follow his orders? He's dead now, and so they didn't execute those men that he had determined should be executed, and so it was party time when Herod died. And there was shouting. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Because you have a person who is upright, who is ruling, the people rejoice, they're blessed, they're exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Verse 12, contrasting a man who is void of wisdom with a man of understanding. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. If you despise your neighbor, it means that you're just void of wisdom. But a man of understanding will hold his peace. This one is good. A talebearer revealeth secrets, But he that is of a faithful spirit will conceal the matter. You'll not go around telling it. A talebearer will stir strife. He reveals the secrets. Where no counsel is, the people will fall. How many people have fallen because they won't take counsel? They won't listen to counsel. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Seek someone else's advice. Seek an opinion of a person that you respect, a person who isn't so emotionally involved in the situation as you are. Someone who is can be a little more objective. You get so deeply involved. You don't take counsel. He that is surety for a stranger will smart for it. That is, if you guarantee the loan of a stranger, you'll smart for it. You'll hurt. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. You hate being a guarantee for someone else's debts. A gracious woman retains honor. That's beautiful. And strong men retain riches. So here is complementary, not contrasting, but sort of complementary. Gracious woman retaining honor, strong men retaining riches. Now the merciful man with the cruel man, the merciful man does good to his own soul. But he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. You know, you hurt yourself by hatred, by unforgiving spirits. You're the one that hurts for it. You're hurting yourself. To have bitterness that's just eating you up, it hurts you. You're the one that is hurt. A lot of times, the person that you're bitter about, they're not hurt by it. They can just pass it off many times and say, well, you know, I have a way of just passing off. A person's bitter things that they might feel or say about me. I just say, well, why would you listen to a fool, you know? I just pass it off. But it eats them up. They're being destroyed by it. If you are forgiving, if you're merciful, say, oh, that's fine, that's all right, and you don't let it eat on you, you do yourself good. It's helpful. It's merciful. It does himself good. But if you're cruel, if you hold these things and all, you're just destroying yourself. You trouble your own flesh. It's interesting that they are beginning now to relate more and more the attitudes that you have with certain physical kind of maladies. They're finding that there's quite a relationship between extreme bitterness that a person is carrying and ulcers. And how that our bodies, the glands produce these different chemicals, hormones. And there is a proverb, we'll get to it, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And we know that to be happy is very helpful for a person. It helps you digest your food if you're happy and laughing at the table. It helps digest your food. If you're angry and bitter and you're eating, the food just sort of curdles in your stomach, you know, churns. Bad chemicals are being mixed that can have a physical effect upon you. your thinking, the bitterness, these things can be destructive to your flesh, as the proverb says. The wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, there will be a sure reward. The righteous tendeth to life. Again, righteousness and life associated. So he that pursueth evil pursues his own death. So where righteousness is related to life, evil is related to death. It's pursuing his own death, the evil. They that are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Now, wouldn't it be horrible if God said, oh, they're an abomination to me. I don't want to be an abomination to God. I want God to look at me with delight. I want God to be delighted in me. I want God to have delight from my life. If you're perverse in heart, you're an abomination to God. But if you're upright, your way is his delight. And though hand joined in hand will join together, yet the wicked shall not be unpunished. You can't escape it. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. This one is interesting. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who has no discretion. Just out of place. Beautiful woman without discretion. It's just, you know, the gold in a swine's snout. It's just out of place. So is a beautiful woman who is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good. If you are truly a righteous person, you desire those things that are good. Their rightness and goodness are related to each other. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Now, there is that one who scatters and yet he increases. And there is the one who withholds more than is necessary, but it tends to poverty. There is an interesting spiritual principle involved here, and it's not always understood. There is a spiritual principle concerning giving. And especially when it relates to the things of God and giving to God. Jesus sort of expressed the principle when he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Measured out, pressed down, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That is, by being generous and giving, more will be given to you. If you are tight, stingy, withholding, then that will tend towards poverty. The Lord said that we should be giving. And so he who scatters, there are those that scatter, they give, and yet they increase. And yet there are those who are holding on or trying to hold on more than is necessary, and it tends towards poverty. He's going to give us three proverbs that deal with the same subject here in a row. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. The encouragement towards being generous, towards being liberal, towards giving to others. If you give water, then you will be watered yourself. He that withholdeth the corn, in contrast, the people will curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. So, the importance of giving, generosity. He that diligently seeks good will procure favor, but he that seeks mischief, it shall come unto him. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. It'll come back to you. What is a proverb that little hens come home to roost or something like that? And it comes back to you, is what the idea is. And that's what the proverb is saying here. Your mischief will come back to you. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Now, it's talking about trusting in riches, contrasting with the righteous who will flourish like a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be the servant to the wise of heart. No contrast, just the both are fools. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Life related to righteousness once more. And he that winneth souls is wise. That's also repeated in Daniel. He that winneth souls is wise. Fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. Winning souls, wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Much more, the wicked and the sinners. In other words, it's going to come back to you. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, but how much more the wicked and the sinner. Didn't get as far as I thought we would. We'll take chapter 12 next week. 13, he continues to contrast righteousness and wickedness. And so, wisdom, understanding, reproof, instructions. That's the purpose of Proverbs. And the wise will give heed and will avoid a lot of pitfalls, will prosper. The foolish, they'll fall in the pit because they have not given heed to the instruction. Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom that tend to life, to health, to godliness. May we give heed. May we follow the instructions. May we walk in the path of righteousness and peace, goodness, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.